Man's failure to express thanks was one of the burdens of our Lord. When he healed 10 lepers, only one returned to give thanks. Thanksgiving is rare. I appreciate Don sharing with you his thanks for those that he has lived among and those who have been family and friend and more than that, living stones. Dr. Norman Vincent Peale one day said a man came to him, nervous, upset, walking across the floor, finally sat down and said, "I'm a Christian layman. I live in this city. I'm an executive in a big business. I live out in the suburbs. It takes me 45 minutes in the morning to get from home to my job. And all the way I'm thinking about the problems I'm going to have that day. And I'm seeking some solutions for them. In the afternoon, I'm 45 minutes again on that train going back. And again, I'm thinking and worrying about the mistakes I made during the day. So," he says, "when I get home, finally, I am still pondering those problems and worry about them. And I've become a nervous wreck, and I can't even sleep nights." He said, "Finally, I went to see a doctor. And the doctor told me that I was the best target for three things that a person might have: stomach ulcers, high blood pressure, or a heart attack. I was wide open for all three. And finally, I asked the doctor if he could help me. The doctor said, 'I cannot pour medicine into your mind. I would recommend you go and see a minister.'" And that's why I'm here to see you today, Dr. Peale. Do you have a prescription? Do you have something that will help me and that can give me help in carrying out my business and that will help me to get rid of this tension?" The minister said to him, "I think I have something that can help you. I believe I have something that can make you well." "And I have something," as the man leaned forward to listen, "that will make you whole if you will follow what I say to you. Every morning you get on this train, you forget about the problems you're going to face this day. Don't worry about the solutions you're going to try to work out today. But you put something else in your thoughts. And every afternoon on your way home on this train, you put something else in your thought and meditate on this. And don't you think about all these unhappy things while you're on the train. But I want to suggest to you three words and three things that you need to do. The first one is, I want you to take John chapter 1, verse 12. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. That's the first scripture. The second scripture I want you to remember and put in your mind is Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The third scripture I want you to remember and put in your mind is one from the Old Testament, Hosea chapter 1, verse 10. In the place where it says unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of God, the sons of the living God. Now, I don't know all that Dr. Peel said to that man, but as I listen to those points, there is a definite progression. If a man will commit these three verses of Scripture to his mind and memory and go over them every day, he will find a certain trust and a certain hope in life. In Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Don't be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. 1,000 shall fall by at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh unto thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. You will experience this, and you will see it with your eyes. I think that is probably what is meant by what Dr. Peel had to say to this man. Today, in this world in which we live, you and I, so many pressures, people with upsets, and we are classics. We need something good to meditate upon. Let us look at the first verse that Dr. Peel suggested. John chapter 1, verse 12. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. The big word in that sentence is received. As many as received him. That's the plan of salvation. And the saddest word in the book of John is that he came unto his own and his own received him not. So we must say that we need to receive him. Why is it that we do not receive him? Why is it that people do not receive Jesus? First of all, deep down in every individual, there is some inconsistency. There is some dread that comes into the heart of people who say, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to go on with my secret sins. Thus, I don't want to be inconsistent. Therefore, I will not receive God. Alman Hunt, in his beautiful picture and his suggestion, is that Christ is knocking at the door. People listen, but they do not answer it and do not come in and let him come in. There are some places in this city where a Christian is not welcome. We may as well face this, that in this world we have these rebuffs. And we might as well face it. But As many as received him, gave he power to become the sons of God. If you receive Christ, he gives you power to become one of his sons. I read the story of an article that has been printed in 2 million copies over the past 20 years. The devil decided to have an auction. He spread out all of his tools on plush red carpet. Envy, jealousy, greed, vengeance, resentment, hate, all the rest of evil. But over here on the side, he had a silver wedge. Now this was bright and shiny, and Satan said, "This is my best tool, this silver wedge." Somebody asked Satan, "How does it come out that envy, jealousy, hatred, all these other things are not as important as this wedge that you have here? The most important tool that I have," he said, "is the wedge of discouragement. I can take a Sunday school teacher who is not getting the results they think they ought to get, and I can drive that silver wedge down, and they'll quit. I can take someone who is working in missions and who is discouraged, and I can drive that wedge down, and they give up. I can take a preacher and who is discouraged, who seems to be floundering a bit, and I can drive that wedge of discouragement down, and he'll quit." There are many people in the world today that you can use the wedge of discouragement on. And I suspect Satan has used that in your life. But somebody said to Satan, "Can you use that wedge on all the people?" He said, "No." He said, "There are some people that will not allow discouragement, that wedge, to be successful against them. Because when I get that wedge down," Satan said, "it opens up a gap, and all the little demons can pour into that man's life and defeat him." But Satan said, "There's one group of people that I cannot use that wedge against. And they are the people who have thanksgiving in their hearts. The people who have gratitude in their hearts, who are humble, have a heavenly spirit about them, and there is no way that Satan can defeat them." We need a national thanksgiving. Do you have it in your life? The second scripture that the minister gave this man was Romans 8:14. "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." The real word here in this scripture is led by the Spirit. You receive and you become a son of God. You are led by the Spirit and you are a son of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's why the publican went down to his house justified. The Spirit of God led him. And we must be led by the Spirit of God. I read a story in the Reader's Digest some time ago. It was about a boy who saw a sign where a man put up puppies for sale. And that boy wanted a little puppy worse than anything, to be sure. So he went to see this man. And he got there, and the man said, "Yes, I have some puppies for sale." He inquired as to the price. He said, "They're $10 apiece." Well, the little boy said, "I only have $1.62. But the man said, "I'll be happy to show you the puppies." And so he called the dog, the mother dog, whose name was Lady, to come. And she came out. And there were five little fluffy, furry balls following behind that mother. Now, one little puppy had a limp. And so as they arrived, the boy had an opportunity to look him over. And then he began to inquire about the little puppy that was lame. He said, "I wonder if I could get this little puppy. It's lame." The man said to him, "Well, you wouldn't want a puppy like that. A puppy like that wouldn't be able to run and romp with you and play with you. He wouldn't be healthy enough to do that." But the boy said, "You know, I could pay for him on time, maybe. Just a little bit each week." But the man said, "Now, you really wouldn't want that puppy because he's lame and probably be crippled all life." Then it was the little boy pulled up his trousers leg and showed the man a brace that he had to wear because of polio. He said, "You know, I guess the puppy would probably understand after a little while, because I just can't run and romp like other boys. And this puppy could probably adjust and play with me, and we could be real pals." Well, the story went on. The boy went away with the puppy. No money was mentioned. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, his last verse that he gave, and it's all I'll have just a little time to say something about it, was in Hosea chapter 1, verse 10. Hosea chapter 1, verse 10. "Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sands of the sea, which cannot be numbered are measured, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, 'Ye are not my people,' there it shall be said unto them, 'Ye are the sons of the living God.'" Well, you get those two clauses together, they were not, but then they were. There was a time when you were not a Christian. But today it can be said, you are a son of God. And those who are not Christians today, here is the great possibility. You can receive, you can be led, and you can become a son of God. Jonah Erickson, in 1966, was riding horseback at Thanksgiving, picking apples on a fox hunt, gathering with a family with 25 people at the table to eat Thanksgiving dinner. Everything was great, but in her own testimony, which is in a motion picture today, says, I didn't have much to thank God for then, but in 1967, I was flat in the hospital. Tubes were hooked up to me. And there my mother stood over me. My daddy came in and was out of place. He was nervous in the hospital setting. But they read books to me. They showed me pictures and magazines to see. I should have thanked God, but I really didn't thank God that day. And then another year passed, 1968, and Thanksgiving came again, and my spirit was a little softer, because this time I was back in tradition. Slightly, my father stood up to say a few things about Thanksgiving and why he was grateful. And then it was my turn, and I said, I'm so thankful I can be sitting up in a wheelchair today. I'm so thankful that I do not have any more bed sores. I'm so thankful that I do not have to be bound by the bondage of the bed and look forward to other operations. Thanksgiving 1968. I will not be able to go fox hunting with my sisters or picking apples with them. But I am thankful to God. And in the motion picture, she tells about coming up to 1980. She says, I have much more to thank God for today than I did then. Because now I'm living in California. I can drive my own van. And I have a bunch of friends who are gathered about me. And Thanksgiving is going to be a wonderful time for me in 1980. That's what happens to sons of God. They were not, but they are. Let me close with this story, which is all I'll have time for in this message. The editor went to London to see an old sea captain, one of his friends. There visiting him, this old man who had sailed the seas, he said to him this. He said, I want you to tell me, what was it that changed your life? And when was it that you changed your life? Was it when the Caspar went down, the ship, and the old sea captain smiled and he said, that's the time it happened. And then he began to tell him his story. And the news reporter said, this will make a good copy. As he unraveled it, he said, we were standing by the Caspar and it was about to break up. We didn't know whether we could get the men and the folks off, but we were able to get them off. And we finally got the last man, the captain climbed over and was on the board of the ship. He said, as the captain came on, I was standing on the deck holding the 4-year-old child that belonged to the captain and his wife. The wife rushed over to her husband as he boarded and was safely on the ship and embraced him. And this old sea captain said, I was standing there holding this 4-year-old in my arms. And the mother said, let me now bow and kneel and thank God. He said, it'll be all right to pray, madam. And so she knelt to pray. When she had finished praying, because she had a message from God that none on board would be lost, she stood up and reached for the 4-year-old child, and the child snuggled down, he said, against me. I had several days of growth of beard, got very close to me, and the mother said, child, why are you refusing to come to me? And the little child says, mother, isn't this God? And she then thought, I told that child that God was going to save us. And she thought that this man was God, because he had saved them from that sinking ship. And then the mother said to the child this, no, he's not God, but he's one of God's men. And God used him today to save us. And that old captain said, when she said that, I decided that I was going to be God's man that day. And I was going to be God's man and be used of God every day and whenever God could use me. When we become sons of God, we become thankful. Let us pray. Our Father and our God today, we know that sons of God express thanksgiving every day. And as we search our hearts this morning, we might well ask, are we sons of God today? Have we truly received him? Is there gratitude in our hearts for him? Have we failed to give thanks? But on this special day today, our Father, we pray that thou would help us, help somebody here in this service, to say, I want to become a son of God, and I want to receive him by giving thanks to Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to sing hymn number 373, Take My Life and Let It Be. You have a decision to make. If you are grateful to God, then make it today.